Şimdi ospatamız tüfün peytalı raf matik tarafır. Being Shivas Batamos, as we enter the 3 weeks, the saddest time of the year for all of Yiddishkeit, all of Yidden. So we begin, of course, with the actual day of Shivas Batamos. We know the five things, but we don't know the five things that happened on Shivas Batamos. And each one on its own was such a big tragedy in its own right. However, when they're all compounded into one, it intensifies the level of sadness that we feel on this day. First and foremost, the Egel. People talk about the breaking of the Luchos. It began with the Egel, which is the biggest calamity possibly that ever fell, because we know that Chazal tell us there's no Dor that doesn't pay for the Egel in some small way. There's no Tzora, doesn't have a little bit of the Egel part of it. And really, that was the climax. We come to Mitzrayim, we were chosen as Klal Yisrael, we'd come to Har Sinai, we received the Torah, we heard Anochi Hashem, we heard Hashem speak. The highest level that we ever attained was then at Har Sinai. We heard Hashem speak, Anochi Hashem lo yiyeh lecha. We heard the other Seiros Dibros from Moshe. We'd reached a spiritual high, and we'd reached really completion and climax. This was it. We received the Torah with Am Segula, with the chosen nation. Everything was perfectly as it should be. Moshe went up to Har Sinai, we waited 40 days, the Satan confused us, as the Satan always does. And then it was the Egel, with the breaking of the Luchos, which brought about an end to this high that we were on. It came literally with a bang, it all snapped and broke, and now it's sort of the end of the beginning. And Shavuos HaBetamos was the day that happened, and we mourn that as well. We think about the Churban, it's true, the Churban, but everything was an offset of the breaking of the Luchos. That's when Klal Yisrael lost so much. As I'll tell us, Torah is only learned today with Tzah, with difficulty, because of the breaking of the Luchos. Forgetting Torah, again, is the responsibility of the Egel, breaking of the Luchos. So much of Torah, forgetting Gashmias, Ruchnias, we lost because of the breaking of the Luchos, which was a result of the Egel. So when we mourn today for the Egel and the breaking of the Luchos, we have to realize that the struggle we have today in so many areas, especially learning Torah, is a result of the breaking of the Luchos. The second thing, of course, was the Tomid. The Tomid was stopped. Now, the Tomid was the basic korban. It was like the Shacharis in the morning. It was Mincha in the afternoon. That was the basic, the whole idea of the Beis HaMikdash was Kibesi Beis Tefillah, was a place of prayer. And Shacharis and Mincha was represented, it was embodied by the korban Tomid. When that stopped, it was the connection, the very basic connection any Yid has to Hashem is davening. It's the lowest and most basic, most common connection we have, the very basic. And that was broken on Shavuos HaBetamos when they didn't receive any more the korban and they couldn't bring a korban onto the Beis HaMikdash. That was the beginning of it severed the cords, and that was the beginning of the end. Of course, the most famous one, Yerushalayim was surrounded, it was broken through. And again, this was also the beginning of the end. They'd broken through. Asar Batavis had begun, but that was 3 years earlier. And the siege has gone on for 3 years. And there's always hope, and there's a siege, there's always hope. The tide may turn. But once they broke through, everyone realized it was Achas Dos Elohomis, this was the end. Now they'd come into Yerushalayim. And they knew there's no point resisting. And as it happened 3 weeks later, it culminated with Tisha B'Av at the end of the burning, the end of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the third thing. The fourth thing is Apostolos HaRosh HaBin Sefer Torah, which again is not so clear why, but we know a Sefer Torah falls to the floor, Chas V'Shalom, which has never happened. We have to fast because the magnitude of spirituality that's embodied in the Sefer Torah is so great that any time Sefer Torah goes through B'Zayin, we feel it in our bones so deeply that when he burned this publicly, it was such a big statement. As another thing we mourn, it doesn't really mean his Sefer Torah, it's any time there was a Bizarre Torah represented in Shavuos HaBetamos where we feel Sefer Torah is not given its due respect. That's the fourth element. And finally, of course, they put a Tzelem in the Heichal, they put in the holiest place on earth, they put an Avodah Zarah. If we can even try and envision what it was like coming into the Beis HaMikdash and seeing an Avodah Zarah there, it's just unbelievable, the sadness and the depths of depravity that people have to go to a level to take the base. You build the base of Mikdash, okay, you look at it as a void building. But to lower it, put it in Avodah Zarah, that's the fifth and final episode that Chazal bring down, which our mourning is connected to Shavuos HaBetamos. Being as those five things happen, it's really the Avodah of Shavuos HaBetamos to stop and think about those five things, each thing, what it means in our life, how we can go about maybe rebuilding the base of Mikdash through rectifying these points. However, we must know as well, as interesting, someone pointed out, that Parashas Balak is almost always before the 3 weeks. It can always falls out. I think it always falls out. Maybe not always. It's almost always falls out for 3 weeks. Why is it Parashas Balak? Is it just random? So someone's mentioned that in Parashas Balak we hear the praise of Klal Yisrael. And he gave a marshal, just like you got a father needs to tell a child off. So before he tells him off, he tells him, you know, you're a great child. Everything's really good about you. This maybe needs sorting out. Maybe even better. He picks up the phone, he pretends he's on the phone, he says, my son, he's unbelievable, the best kid in the class, such a mensch, such a nice boy. And the boy feels that, the child feels that, and then later says the child, by the way, this he did was wrong, we shouldn't have done this. But when that's backed up, the prerequisite for telling him off was the love that he put in, then the whole thing comes across in a different way. It's a basic tactic, and chinuch will come across better, and the child will feel he has the love, the father loves him, yet this is a point that needs to be raised. Before 3 weeks, we'll be going to this dark golos, where we hear so much bad things, we've got the haftarahs, we've got so much to remind us of the Rebbeinu Shem's tainus on us. Before that's Parshas Balak, even our enemies, the Rebbeinu Shem puts in their mouth so much praise, so much good. And the Rebbeinu Shem has to tell us a direct message, what I think of you. Here we go, the psukim, one after the next in Parshas Balak, telling us what the Rebbeinu Shem really thinks of us, how much he loves us and appreciates us, and what our connection really is. Yes, it may end, and it has to go on to the techach of the 3 weeks. We have to know that the love and connection's there. The Rebbeinu Shem loves us so much, and that's why he holds us to such a high level. That's why he gets upset when things go wrong, because of who we are. Now, as we go into the Golas and we think about the Golas, it's very hard to visualize. People always want to know, Tisha B'Av, what do I cry about? What am I sad about? We're so far removed, we don't even understand. We can't even vision what there is to be upset about. It's so far removed from us. I was listening to Shia last Tisha B'Av, and the speaker was saying how it comes Pesach, and it's very exciting. Zman Chiruseinu, we set the table gloriously with all our expensive dishes, and we talk about Chirus, we come Mitzrayim, we're a free nation. We have the Matzah, the Moro, our Dalet Koisus, the Kittel. It's extremely exciting. He says, however, imagine the first Seder night after the Korban. The center stage always, throughout the Beis HaMikdash, was the Korban Pesach. The whole idea of it's called Pesach, it's the Antov. Korban Pesach took center stage. They shechted it on Yudalad. Today we get busy with the Chomets and burning out the Chomets and checking the Moro. There's lots to do. But then the whole focus was on the Korban Pesach. And it led up to it a few months before you joined the Chaburos. You decided who's going to be with who. You worked it all out. It came Yudalad, the most exciting day of the year. You went to the Beis HaMikdash. The Moro and Pesachim describes what was going on there. The scene was an unbelievable scene to behold. And then it went through to Seder night where we had the Korban Pesach, it was on the table, and they waited, and the whole Akkadah was around the Korban Pesach. And finally it came to Matzah, Moro, and then they ate the Korban Pesach at the end, Fafikoyman. The Simcha and the excitement, this was really the whole idea of it. And he said the first Pesach after the Korban, they came to the table, and there was a big empty void in the middle of the table. It's a bit like you go to a chasn and everyone's dancing and singing. Chos and Kala not there. Chos and Kala decided to run away, they disappeared. The whole simcha falls on its face. It's very exciting, there's music, there's dancing, there's food. But you know there's a massive gap here. There's a big hole. And that's really what Pesach was. We've come to a point where we've forgotten everything. How much center stage Beis HaMikdash took in our lives. Then now we just sail along. Okay, this is our life. But really there's so much missing from the fact that Beis HaMikdash is not here. And really it all began we know the Eger was with the Erev Rav in the Midbar. When the Yidden said, "Besinas Hashem, Yisonu Mitzrayim," they saw Mitzrayim, and they saw there was a nice land in Mitzrayim. They enjoyed Mitzrayim; there was a lot of good there. They came up to the Midbar and said, "Besinas Hashem, Yisonu." Hashem took us out because He didn't like us. Because what does that mean? How can you challenge Hashem in such a way? The answer is they didn't believe that Eitzol would be better. They didn't understand how can it be better. We're so comfortable in Mitzrayim. Yes, we were slaves. You know what? Get rid of Paroi, overthrow the regime, and make us first-class citizens. But the beauty of Mitzrayim was so great, and there was so much good there, they couldn't understand why take us out. And the Mepharshim say, it's a bit like today, we know Mashiach wants to come. What for? We're so happy here. Everything's good. What do we need it for? Mashiach. You know, if he does come, maybe after the holidays at least, because I already booked my holiday, and Edelsman, okay, you know, that's a good time to come before we get all serious. But we have the whole Besinus Hashem, we suddenly turn to Mitzrayim, we sort of feel today because we don't really want it. I said to someone yesterday, imagine someone came over to you and said to you, I've got a magic button. You press the button, you get £1 million. Would you press it? He wouldn't even hesitate. Boom, the button's pressed. Whatever you need, refuah, tzlacha, shituchim, babies, however you sure a person needs, press the button, you've got it, you wouldn't think twice. I can do the magic button, press the button, Mashiach will come. You say, ooh, Mashiach. Yeah, Mashiach will come. Ooh, he'll come now? Yeah, here, press it. One second, what's the time? You're not sure, you're so hesitant. Press it, we're down for Mashiach, we hope for Mashiach. We down in Ibn Shimon Esra, so many of our brachas about Mashiach. We have an imam and people sing and cry, Mashiach, Mashiach, everything's Mashiach. Press the... Suddenly we feel a bit hesitant. Maybe not. Because we have the same issue, we're so comfortable, things are going good. And when Mashiach brings the idea of the Beis Mikdash HaShlishi, we don't really understand. There were even the tzaddikim in the middle, the Mepharshim explained, the ones who didn't say that, they were happy to go to Eretz Yisrael, but they were still hesitant. They weren't sure what it's going to be like. They saw the 4th, 5th time in Mitzrayim. They knew in Eretz Yisrael people are dying the whole time. They knew as they go through the Midbar, they were held to such a high level that anyone did something wrong, whether it was Kiryach, Limeraglim, whatever it happened, people were dying. And the system was weeding out anyone who was a Rasha. They thought, we go to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if I live up to standard, and we feel the same. I don't know. When Mashiach comes, will I make it? Am I good enough? And we're so hesitant that when we say press the button of Mashiach, we sometimes think, maybe let's delay a few years. Maybe when I'm really old and I've done shuv and everything's taken care of and my kids are all happy, then Mashiach will come. So on came to Chaim Kanievsky and he said to him, where's Mashiach? Chaim said, he's showing him the gas, he's ready in the street. But people don't want him. Reb Chaim said, he said, the Chevli Mashiach have all been. They all happened already in Europe. The Yidden died. Oh, Chazal told us it's all over. It's all been. He said, but Mashiach wants to come. You don't want him. We're scared of Mashiach. He comes to Tisha B'Av when we think Mashiach's going to come. And he thinks, you know, tomorrow I've got a meeting. There's an appointment next week. And I'm so happy. What? I go to Israel. I might get a little deer. I might get a squash. I might go to Miklat, you know, for $2,000 a month. The squash in the back. I don't. We much prefer what we know, what we're comfortable with. The Reb Chaim said, he's there, he's ready here. The Chevli Mashiach's been, Mashiach's in the gas. But no one's opening the door to him, no one lets him in. People don't want him. But as Karov said, he said that Mashiach brings a lot of different things with it. It brings economic stability, it brings happiness, it brings ruchnias, it brings parnasa. And he said that the Mashiach you wanted, he said, you got. Mashiach has come, he said. You didn't inherit Israel, the Yidden are not looking at so bad anymore, we can do what we want. That Mashiach came, Biskrov said. The Mashiach of Ruchnias, of depth, spiritual depth in the Beis HaMikdash, that didn't come because you didn't want him. It's all split. The Mashiach you wanted, you got. But the real Mashiach, the Tachlis of the whole world, we know Mashiach's going to come and bring everyone together, that no one wanted. So Hashem said, you know what, we're going to split Mashiach. The Mashiach you want, you've got. After the war he came, back to Eretz Yisrael, he's not happy, we have so much financially in every single way. But the Mashiach of spirituality, what, you don't want him, I'm not going to send him. The Yavet said, if Mashiach knew how much we want him, he would come. But he sort of gets the vibes and he's thinking, you know what, I'm not coming if you don't want me. And so much of this Mashiach that we want and hope and cry and daven for, we've got to reopen our hearts and let him in and say, you know what, Mashiach, I don't care about anything. I don't care if I lose my house, my car, my money. I just want Mashiach. But the question is, why do we want him? How do we feel the spiritual connection to Mashiach? How are we meant to really understand that one Mashiach? Rabbi Aaron Kotler said, he said it a few times, actually did it by a big event, and he said that you've got 2 Yidden living in Eretz Yisrael. One of them had his field, and he worked hard as a farmer, and he made parnasa. He never went to the Beis HaMikdash, he wasn't so spiritually inclined. Then came the Churban, he lost it all. And then the State of Israel was declared. He came back to Israel, he got his land again, and he's back to work, he's happy, he's sorted. Then he got another Yid, he used to live near Yerushalayim, and every day he went there and saw the miracles. He saw the Kohenim, the Levim, the Nazirim, the Nevi'im, all went on there. There's the Nisim every day, and every time he came there, he was awakened to his spiritual core and his understanding why he's here. And then came the State of Israel, and they put it all back, and he went back to the Beis HaMikdash. There's nothing there, there's just a wall, and there's all sorts going on in front of it. Said Rabbi Aaron, there's one Yid who's fine, he's now got everything he wanted. That he's okay with. The situation today, we have on a gashmius level, he's got what he wanted. But the man who wanted the ruchnis, that he never got. That we still have the void, we still have the gap. We still haven't filled that. There's two parts to this Mashiach. There's two parts to this Gula. And in a way, one of them has already begun. But the other one hasn't. And the question is, what is it we want? How is it that... I cry for Mashiach. What does Mashiach bring? This big bubble of the unknown. How do you expect me to want Mashiach? Sometimes a person can get a spiritual high. It could be a kippah by an ila. It could be, maybe now before the holidays, you know, a family is struggling. You take £1,000 cash, put it through the door. No one knows. No one. 2 o'clock in the morning, it's you and the Rabbein Shalom. No one knows about this. And you feel, wow, this is an amazing thing I did. Sometimes a person on a tannis, without any food, he can spend his time learning, he can sit for a whole morning by himself quietly learning. A person can feel on spiritual high. The Beis HaMikdash, and all it brought with it, was a 24-hour-a-day spiritual high. It was the real, real, genuine connection. Listen, we stand by a chuppah sometimes, and it's an emotional chuppah, and you feel that all the gashmius of the world doesn't matter anymore, nothing matters. There's you and the Rebbein Shalom, and that is the feeling, the emotion, the connection that was around 24 hours a day with the Beis HaMikdash. And it was on a much higher level. A person came there, he recharged his spiritual batteries, and he realized what it's all about. And he got clarity and focus and understanding why he's here, what the purpose is. And that's what Mashiach represents. That's what Beis HaMikdash represents. And that, a lot of times, in the whirlwind of activity that we live in, we forget it's even necessary to have such a musuk. And therefore, with this Mashiach, what's he offering me? I tell you, let's do Yom Kippur tomorrow. It's going to be amazing. Yom Kippur tomorrow, I'm busy, I've got a schedule. We don't focus on it enough to understand what it offers us. And that's why when we think about Mashiach, I don't know, things are good. Do we need this? Do we need Yom Kippur every single day? It's bad enough once. A girl was telling me last week, she said, Yom Kippur is my worst day of the year. I said, that's so funny. For me, it's the best day of the year. It's amazing. She said, well, the fasting, if you tap into it properly, it can be the best day in the world. And Yom Kippur, and Beis HaMikdash, that's what it was. And now we look around, we realize that we're in Golos, everything's upside down. Imagine you went to, think of Rechav Knesset was still alive, and he went to his shul, and you know he had his shtender there in front of the pillar, everyone knew where he davened, and he came in there, and there's a shaykhitz there, he's wearing a t-shirt, and shorts, or no t-shirt even, just the shorts, and he's got no kapel on, moment, a proper guy, and he's standing there, and he's drawing pictures on the shtender. You think, is that bizarre? Get lost. It's Rav Chaim Shtender. Do you know where you're standing? This is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What on earth do you think you're doing here? It'll bother you to the core. Or anything. Like we said, back to a chuppah, chos nakala there, and a guy comes in, and he punches the kala, pushes it away, rips the chuppah. It will disturb you so much. The sense of injustice, when you've got something so spiritual, and something so fizzle comes along and destroys it, it would upset you. Our achas kama v'kama, put it by a millionfold. Think about the world today. Who's the superstars of today? And where's the yid? You've got a yid who sits quietly in the corner, and he davens and learns, and gives stokas to tehillim. He's reached spiritual perfection, and who is he? Another schlepper. And who do we look up to? Wow, this guy's amazing, this person. The whole upside down world we live in, where the yid and the Beis HaMikdash, the ruchnias, the Rebbein Shalom, doesn't exist, it's all gone. And that's really what Churban represents. It's the upside down world where we don't feel the spirituality that we want, and the whole world is looked at in the wrong sense. That's really what it is. And when it comes to Tisha B'Av, what are we crying for? We sit on the floor, we're crying. It's not, people have reduced Tisha B'Av to a Holocaust Memorial Day. That's not what it is, but if it would be, you know, Tisha B'Av, Hamas wouldn't have attacked. That's tiny, tiny detail. You know, you tell this Kala that the Kubba got destroyed. What a shame, I had a really good breakfast for you for tomorrow. Such a shame that you're not going ahead with the getting married. It's much more than that. It's the destruction of the ruchniyah sense. That's what it's really all about. And it's hard to tap into it. Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks, is a time to stop and think. We see Yerushalayim Ircha in Shemoneh Esrei 3 times a day, the next 3 weeks, every day besides Shabbos. There's so much opportunity to stop and think for a moment. We don't really understand. But to know that this unbelievable ruchnias that we were missing, and there are times in our life that we feel this beauty of ruchnias, and we would have it 24 hours, it would be the task of the world, the purpose of creation. Klaizel won't be a downtrodden nation that are ignored and abused. Rather, we would be, people would get the respect they need. You walk into a place like me, see thousands of people learning. Okay, and they've all got, you know, the worn out shirt, and they're running home with their worn-out shoes. You look at them as people, someone would say, who are these people? But we know what they're doing for the world. That's what it's meant to be like. And now we live in this upside-down world. We just don't appreciate what the ruchness is, what it does for us. And that's the difficulty that we go through. The Rebbe Yisrael told Yirmiyah, the Rebbe Yirmiyah was in Yerushalayim, and the Churban couldn't happen when Yirmiyah was there. So the Rebbe Yisrael had to lure him out of Yerushalayim. So he told him to go to Anosis, to his cousin, his Perek Lamed Beis, go to your cousin and buy a field of him. Make a contract, put in a Kli Cheres, in an earthenware Kli, sign that this land is going to be yours, and put it in the ground of Leman Yamdu Yom Rabim, the famous Gemara in Ksubas, where we learn out how to keep something for a long time. And once Yirmiyah was out, the Churban happened. He came back, he saw smoke rising, he thought this was it, the Beis HaMikdash was back in action, the Korbanos were up and running, and he came deeper into Yerushalayim, and he realized, no, it was the Churban, Hashem had tricked him and removed him to the actual calamity of the Churban. And the Farshim say, they explained, the Rebbe Yisrael said to him, write down a contract, you're buying this field from your cousin, L'man Yamdu Yom for a long time, because there will be a time will come where this is going to be your land. A time is going to come where the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, everyone will go back, and even in the time of darkness, in a time of gloom, the Rebbe Yisrael was sending an undercurrent to Yirmiyah. There's going to be a time of rebuilding. Don't think it's all over. Remember what's going to come back to where it should be. And when was that? The crux of the Churban. To remind us, yes, things are difficult, yes, we're in Galus, but it's all going to come back, and it's going to reach perfection. And that's what we say at the end of Tisha B'Av, Alei Tzion V'Areah, Kmo Isha, like a woman who's in birth. Why like a woman in birth? There are lots of people who are in an uncomfortable situation, who are crying, who are stressed. Why a woman in birth? And Mepharshim again explained, because when a woman's in birth, it may be hard, it may be difficult. We know with the curse of Chava, it's a very difficult experience. However, it's a birth. It's the beginning of a new life. When it comes to Tisha B'Av and we feel what we're missing, that is the way to rebuild. The way to rebuild is through the pain and anguish and knowing what we're missing, focusing on it and stopping for a few minutes. What's the point? Every day I sit and think, the Churban, okay, very sad. Yes, that's how we rebuild. We rebuild through connecting to it, through understanding what we lost. That is the way to build it back. There's a famous story, which they bring down in article, so that's why it's famous, but I've got news for you, the story is not true. I bring down the story that Yirmiyah met Plato, and he asked him, why are you crying? And he said to him, because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and he said to him that you're a very clever man. He asked him questions, and he knew so much about the world. And he said to him, you're so clever, why are you crying over spilt milk? And Yirmiyah said to him, you'll never understand. Now, the story I don't think ever happened, because if you look down the three different places it's quoted, it's not there. There's Teres Chassid from the Ramah, there's the Chasam Sofer. The story, I think, is just a mistake. They do bring down that Plato, that Yirmiyah met very clever people. It doesn't say it's Plato by name. But never, this conversation is, I don't think it's documented anywhere besides an art scroll. But this story, whether it's true or not, the idea is the understanding of the story is true. The crying over the Churban, that's what connects us. That's what builds us. That's what brings it back. The knowing and the hope that because we're missing out on the spirituality, because we don't have it, that's what's slowly going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash through the understanding that this is how it's going to be. Tisha B'Av is the day where we're sad, but we can only cry and be upset. Well, maybe we don't get to cry. We can only think about it if we're going to slowly put these building blocks back to try and rebuild what we're meant to have. It only happens through understanding. It's not just, okay, we're crying, the next day, holidays. It's got to be that Tisha B'Av we decide, and even our Shiva Sabbatam, the point of a time is, it's not just to go hungry all day. We'll go hungry all day. Come the night, phew, Baruch Hashem, it's over. There's no point in just going hungry. It's got to be that through this, it inspires us a tiny, tiny step, something small. Person should sit down for 20 seconds today, think, I'm hungry, Tatanis, Churban. This I'm going to change. This I'm going to slowly build back this Beis HaMikdash, because it's not, as the Mishra brings from Yonah. In Nineveh, the Rosh Hashanah didn't see they were fasting. He saw the mass, what they did. I was just looking yesterday in the story with Achav, when he did so much bad, and he killed Novois, and Eliyahu came to him and said to him, what's going on? And he realized what he had done, and he put on sackcloth, and he was crying. And again, the Pasuk said, the Rosh Hashanah told Eliyahu, because I see that Achav really has remorse, he really feels bad. The Rosh Hashanah explained again, it doesn't talk about his sackcloth and what his tannis. It says his change he made. So a tannis without a change, it's a shame to go hungry all day. I'm not saying you should go home and eat. But someone who it's a fast in vain. It's got to be that inspires you to do tshuva, because through that we get to build, and that's what Tisha B'Av is about, what 3 weeks is about, what Shavuot Tamuz is about, to build. We know it's a moed. The Tana Be'el Yo says when there's a simcha, then a person makes a simcha. The father comes and joins in the simcha. But when there's a tzar in the family, someone's upset, someone has shom is nifta. So the derech is, Tana Be'el Yo says, the derech is the children go to the father. It's a moed, we go to Hashem, we connect back to Hashem. Why is it a moed? Why is it a meeting time? Because the intensity of Tisha B'Av is the rebuilding. The 3 weeks is only Tisha B'Av. It's this whole saga of being a Mitzrayim where we rebuild through our sadness, through understanding this focal point of what we're missing. The spirituality that's gone. We're down in the dumps, we're trodden on. Who's a celebrity today? I know you got a guy who the Rebbeinu made a bullet miss him. Wow, he's like, he's God himself. And it comes to a person that's Moisei Nefesh for Torah Mitzvahs. Okay, yeah, he's a good guy. I see him, he learns a lot, this guy. He's a good guy. Oh, he gives a lot of stock. He's pretty okay. He's a celebrity. It's the whole upside down world, the V'na'afoichu, where we miss out on so much understanding of what everything's all about. Not only the Ruchnius, the whole understanding of the world. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gemara in Gittin, involved in Zion, he met Vespasian, and then he spoke to him, and he asked for his three wishes. What happened next? Where he couldn't go back in Yerushalayim, because the Arayonim wouldn't have allowed him back in Yerushalayim. What was his next move? And they say that what he did was, he went to Yavne. Yavne was the Ir Tira, Mishbura brings in the beginning of Chastanis, from the Rambam, how when Yavne got destroyed, it was like the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. We look at the Khorban, it's the biggest day in history. The destruction of Yavne was just as bad. It's equated with the Khorban. Because it was the Mokum of Torah. After Yochanan ben Zakkai was finished with the Beis HaMikdash, he knew he was not going to be saved. In his eyes, the Khorban was already over. His next stage was to move to Torah. Because Torah again is the connection. Torah is what brings everything back. And that's all we have. We say in davening, every stage in Shacharis, we daven for the Beis HaMikdash. We've got, after Bishmol Omer, we daven for the Beis HaMikdash. We've got end of Shemini Esra, time for the Beis HaMikdash. Oleinu, the Beis HaMikdash. Before end of Sukkot Zimra, at the end, we down again, the day is going to come, where the Rebbeinu Shem is going to be recognized. Every stage in davening, because the tefillah and the Torah that we have, that's the connection. And the only way to try and earn it back is through that. And that's what we put to the focus of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He left his Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara should have said to him, don't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But it was the end, this is where it reached. He realized that Titus was now coming, destroying the Beis HaMikdash. The big, long, dark golos of 2,000 years is going to begin now. Off he went to Yavne to go and learn Torah. Because he knew the only way forward was to go and learn Torah. There's no other thing to do, there's no other way about it. So we do feel the Khorban, we do understand what it is, the spirituality we've lost, the damage that's done. And we sit for a few seconds and do our tshuva. The next stage is our Torah and Tefillah, because that's the connection. And we hope Kuram Hashem Tzvokos, Tzim Revi, Tzim Echmiji, Tzim Eshvi, Tzim Asiri, Yile Beis Yisrael, Asosan, Lesimcha, it's going to be a time, Mashiach's going to come back. On the back of our morning, you crowd the Tisha B'Av, that's what's going to bring Mashiach, and Bez Hashem will be this year. Hey, go back to the other room, I'm going to come on.